to American Gospel. I'm
your host, Buddy Howard. Radio.
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, good evening, midday, 12 midnight. You are being blessed. You're hearing this, you are being blessed. You're listening to House of Red Gospel Blog Talk Radio. You're being blessed right now. No matter what you're going through, you're being blessed. Welcome, welcome, welcome. House Super Duck and Gospel Blog Talk Radio is on the air. Call a friend. Tell them House Super Duck Gospel Blog Talk. Talking on the radio. Talking about Jesus. Telling people about Jesus. In spite of his own iniquity, in spite of your iniquity, you are being blessed. That's what God does. He loves you. He blesses you in the morning, in the evening, in the midnight hour. He blesses you when you got problems. He makes a way for you. He's the shepherd over your sheep. He's the shepherd over you, your children, your job, your money, your house. He can take it anytime you get ready. Woo! Christian Brothers, a song called I Am Blessed. Believe me, you are blessed. The best gospel music that you've never heard. Usher you into the presence of God where you can call on Him and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. Woo. Only Jesus can do it. Only Jesus can do it. You're worried about Donald Trump? God raised him up. He raised him up for a reason, especially for America. Only God can do that. Glory, hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, welcome to House of Gospel Blog Talk Radio.
Time.
Good morning, and welcome to House of the Gospel Blog Talk Radio, coming to you from 231 6th Avenue, down south here in the big city of Beatrice. We hope everything is going well for you. Let us go to the throne. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good morning. Praise God, the Creator, Psalms 104. Praise God, the Creator, Psalms 104. How are you? How are you? The Creator is separate from His creation. He transcends nature, you know. Creation is awesome. The Creator is more awesome. The disciples found this out when a storm arose on the Sea of Galilee. It was one thing to face the storm. In Mark's the 4th chapter, 35 through the 38th verse, it was quite another thing to face the one who would calm the storm. Mark, the 4th chapter, 39 through the 41st verse. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with Jesus today?
And how He makes a way when it seems to be no hope for me. Yes, I'm satisfied with the joy He placed within my soul and how He helped me to bear.
The question is, what is your heavy load? As we have learned this month, 2017, January the 20th, in fact, leading up into the inauguration of President Barack Obama, and him leaving, leading up to the inauguration of President Donald Trump, and Barack Obama leaving the inauguration week, there has been a powerful thing placed in our midst, but God can handle anything, and He can handle anything for you. As we learn this month, many of the songs celebrates God as a creator over His creation. Psalms 104 can be added to that list. In fact, as books 4, that's Psalms 90 through 106 of Song End, theme of celebrating God as creator and redeemer is a strong. Psalms 103 and 106 celebrates God's forgiveness and love. Psalms 104 and 105 celebrates the creation and its faithfulness to it. The creator works in creation. That's Psalms 104 verses 1 through 4. The psalmist who likely could have been King David, we believe David is the writer of all these psalms, since he wrote his previous psalm, once again begins with praise, literally blessed. He summons up his soul for his praise as he acknowledges the greatness of God by using the metaphor of clothing, building, and nature to see how intimate in the Creator is with his creation. God is clothed with splendor and majestic, and the Lord wraps himself in light with a garment. God the Father is Spirit. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It speaks of the Trinity of God. John 4:24, and therefore is not like a human being getting dressed, yet through the figure of speech known as anthropomorphism, the Lord is pictured as getting dressed in light. The Creator is involved in creation as a builder. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. Think about someone going camping and setting out on the ground everything for the camping experience before assembling the tent. God does that with the heavens. Genesis 1:8, 2 Corinthians 12:2. Also, he lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. It is as if God pounds huge concrete buttresses into the water so that they can support the heaven. The awesomeness of power of God and how it is described here. The creation is also involved in the Creator, which is God, is also involved in his creation as one who controls the wind. In fact, he makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the clouds, as David has said. Can you imagine that? The clouds, I often looked at them as me and my wife travel up and down the road. We often take a look at the clouds and how beautiful they are. And my wife took some pictures of the clouds the other day and said the awesome power of God. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, since the word spirit, as in the Holy Spirit, means breath, wind, or something pulsating, God can use clouds as a means of transportation and battle. 2 Kings 2:11. He can appoint winds to become messengers and flames of fire to be his servant. See also Acts 2:1-4. God is not distant from his creation, as the deists believe. He transcends creation, but he works in it. Creation bears witness to the Creator. Psalms 104:24-30. God calls to his creation, and his creation responds with obedience. That is one thing we need to learn. Obedience is better than sacrifice. This past week at choir practice, I was asked to do something, and I was disobedient, and I responded in an angry way. I must have made amends for that. I already have apologized to our piano player, and I have to apologize to the choir today before I sing. God calls his creation, and his creation responds with obedience. Some of the verses not included in the printed text of Psalms 104:5-23 continues the theme of God's involvement with his creation. Some of these verses deal with God's actually calling creation into being, verses 5, 8, 9, 19, and 20. And some of the verses deal with God sustaining the universe by his provision, that's verses 10 through 18. But beginning in the third section, the farmers called creation to the witness and stands on behalf of their creator. Look at that. The word translates creatures in verses 24 come from a Hebrew word meaning to acquire something, as in God owns these creations. Just like he owns you and I, he made us. He made us and he knows about it. Remember the scripture that says he knows you when you were being formed in the womb. Look at that. Awesomeness of God and his knowledge. The word translates creatures in verse 25 comes from the Hebrew word that means something that creeps along the ground. So whether the creature is in the sea or on the land, it bears witness to the Creator. The word for God's creativity is making sea and land creatures is called works. The word for God's creativity in making sea and land creatures is called works. It highlights something made during of accomplishment. First, the song is acknowledged the sea creatures. There are some, all kinds of sea creatures, you know, large and far, large and small, so numerous you can't number them, like the sands of the sea, you know. The ocean home God made for them is huge. This home is so vast and spacious that ships can sail on it, and creatures like leviathans can play in it. This is the fascinating creature. The word leviathan appears 6 times in the word in the Old Testament and refers to a sea monster or some kind of large aquatic animal. Thank Nessie in the famous lock of the entry to Scotland. Powerful, powerful thoughts there indeed. The Psalms also acknowledge land animals. God feeds these animals and they gather it up. God opens his hand, another example, anthropomorphism, and satisfies them with good things. When God, for whatever reason, hides his face, they are terrified. God can allow them to die or return to the dust. It all depends on God's Spirit. When the Spirit moves, creation responds to its Creator. We will be well to follow the lead. You ever notice how when a big storm is coming, how animals somehow seem to find shelter? God's creation is awesome. It is awesome. Now for what you should have been reading, praying for this lesson today, January the 22nd, was January the 16th, Psalms 104, verses 5 through 9. January the 17th, Psalms 104, 10 through 18. January the 18th, Psalms 104, 19 through 23. January the 19th, Psalms 104, 31 through 35. January the 20th, Psalms 8. January the 21st, Matthew 6, 25 and 4. And January the 22nd, Psalms 104, 1 through 4, and 24 through 30. We thank you as we continue here on House of Production Gospel Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to House of Living Gospel Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Freddie Howard. Enjoy the rest of the broadcast.
All right, thank you for being a part of our broadcast for tonight. We're having a little bit of problems. Lights keep flickering on and off, but God is still good. I want to welcome you to our broadcast for tonight. That was information on today's Sunday school lesson. We hope you did for the church today. That was an upbreak on today's Sunday school lesson. Tonight, Sam Cook, a change is going to come. House of Blessing Gospel, the Sam Cook story. We thank Mr. William T. Howard for the inspiration to do this story. Several weeks ago, he sent me some old Sam Cook's gospel songs. And it's so stories. Listening to it, I decided to do some research and dig into Sam Cook and realized that I graduated high school in 1966. And that in 1964, Sam Cook, in 1964, Sam Cook, December 11th, in fact, 1964, Sam Cook was killed in Los Angeles, California. And he was born January 22nd, 1931, died December 11th, 1964. Known professionally as Sam Cook, was an American singer, songwriter, and entrepreneur. Influential both as a composer, he's commonly known as the King of Soul for his distinctive vocals and importance within popular music. His pioneering contribution to soul music contributed to the rise of Aretha Franklin, Bobby Womack, Al Green, Curtis Mayfield, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, and Billy Preston, and popularized the likes of Otis Redding and James Brown. Bruce Egger wrote that Cook was the inventor of soul music and possessed an incredible natural singing voice and a smooth, effortless delivery that has never been surpassed. Cook has 30 U.S. Top 40 hits between 1957 and 1964, plus three more posthumous major hits like You Send Me, Change Is Gonna Come, Cupid, Chain Gang, Wonderful World, Another Saturday Night, Twisting the Night Away. Some of the most popular song accounts, Cook was almost the first modern black performer and composer to attend to the business side of the music's career. He founded both a record label and published company as an extension of his career as a singer and composer. He also took active part in the civil rights movement. And in fact, that song, A Change Is Gonna Come, was a result of his listening to and witnessing the March on Washington. Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream to Speak. On December 11, 1964, at the age of 33, Cook was shot and killed by Bertha Franklin, manager of the Hacienda Motel in Los Angeles, California. Born executive Doug Bouchard was in the room next door and witnessed the event. After an inquest into the court ruled Cook's death to be a justifiable homicide. Since that time, the circumstances of the death have been called into question by Cook's family. As we said, birth name is Sam Cook, also named Dale Cook. He was born on January 22, 1931, in Clarksville, Mississippi. His origin, Chicago, Illinois. He died December 11, 1964, at the age of 33 in Los Angeles, California, at the Hacienda Motel. He sang soul, gospel, as well as rhythm and blues. Occupation, singer, songwriter, entrepreneur, instruments. He played vocals. He sang vocals, played piano and guitar. He was active from 1951 to 1964. Labels, especially Keen RCA. Associated people that was on the acts with him, Otis Redding, the Highway QC, the Soul Stirriers, Jay Van Alexander, Lou Rawls, and Bobby Womack. Crossover. One of the things about Sam Cook is that he was one of the first. He was one of the first to leave gospel music and begin to sing popular or secular music. And with that, that opened the doors for Aretha Franklin, Bobby Womack, Al Green, Curtis Mayfield, Steve Wonder, Marvin Gaye, Billy Preston, and others. oldest resident. That just opened a floodgate of artists. Sam Cooke opened the doors for and what he did. We're going to play some of Sam Cooke's old gospel songs as a soul service. It runs about 31 minutes and 53 seconds. So stay with us here on How's It Going Gospel Blog Talk Radio. If you want to call in, you can call 619-639-4634-347 or either 202-0317 at 619-639-4634. 347-202-0317. Just want to listen in. 713-955-0464. You're listening to House of Heaven Gospel Blog Talk Radio. Sam Cooke. We remember an old gospel saying Sam Cooke songs and with the soul stirrers.
Thank you. by and by, when the morning comes,
hallelujah, when
all this ain't forgot together, and oh,
we will tell the story
how we'll overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by, by and by,
well, by
and by,
by and by,
by and by,
Lord,
when the morning comes,
the morning comes, when
all the same,
oh God,
together and
home,
oh,
then we'll
tell the story,
just
how
we'll overcome.
You know we'll
understand it better.
Come.
About to come. I can fall down on has called on me tonight, and I know, Lord, he'll make my burdens all right. If I tell him, Lord, I've got a desire.
The doctors, they done all they could.
She said it was I who just wanna touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now. She stood there crying, oh. This video is brought to you by a donation from Jonathan. He wanted to know if there was a cover-up with the Sam Cooke murder case. Sam Cooke is known as the King of Soul and was a pioneer in the music industry. He was one of the first musicians to create a company to manufacture and package his records. Sam Cooke always said a white man would never end up with everything he made and worked for. And unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. So let's take a look at why they killed Sam Cooke. In this first section, I want to speak about Sam being a pioneer. So Sam Cooke was a gospel singer. He left gospel music because the money was in secular music. Sam wanted to make it big and then go back and bring more gospel singers into secular music. Sam is commonly known as the King of Soul.
Not only was Sam a great singer, he was a hit songwriter. Sam had 29 consecutive top 40 hits between 1957 and 1964, from the hit songs You Send Me, which was number one in both the U.S. pop and R&B charts, to Wonderful World, Chain Gang, Twisting the Night Away, Change Gonna Come, and Bring It On Home to Me, and many more. One day at a barbershop in Los Angeles, Fats Domino thought Sam was crazy when he asked him if he ever thought about owning his own music, copyright, and catalog. Sam Cooke started his own recording company, Tracy LTD, named after his daughter, which would manufacture and package his recordings. Now let's get into a section I call Personality and Background. Sam Cooke learned a lot about black history from Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X. Sam would purchase black history books and pass it out to black kids in the neighborhood. Sam would stop in the hood and break up fights. Sam had a big heart and didn't forget where he came from. Sam got around and had a lot of women and ran through many church girls. Now let's talk about the official story of how Sam Cooke died. All right, so let's take a look at the official story of Sam Cooke's death. Sam Cooke died at the age of 33 on December the 11th, 1964, at the Hacienda Motel at 9137 South Figueroa Street in Los Angeles, California. Answering separate reports of a shooting and a kidnapping at the motel, police found Cooke's body, clad only in a sports jacket and shoes, but no shirt, pants, or underwear. He has sustained a gunshot wound to the chest, which was later determined to have pierced his heart. The motel's manager, Bertha Franklin, said she had shot Cooke in self-defense after he broke into her office residence and attacked her. Her account was immediately questioned and disputed by friends and acquaintances. The official police records state that Franklin fatally shot Cooke, who had checked in earlier that evening. Franklin claimed that Cooke had broken into the manager's office apartment in a rage, wearing nothing but a shoe and a sports coat, demanding to know the whereabouts of a woman who had accompanied him to the hotel. Franklin said the woman was not in the office and that she told Cooke this, but the enraged Cooke did not believe her and violently grabbed her, demanding again to know the woman's whereabouts. According to Franklin, she grappled with Cooke, the two of them fell to the floor, and she then got up and ran to retrieve her gun. She said she then fired at Cooke in self-defense because she feared for her life. Cooke was struck once in the torso, according to Franklin. He exclaimed, "Lady, you shot me," before mounting a last charge at her. She said she beat him over the head with a broomstick before he finally fell, mortally wounded by the gunshot. The motel's manager, Evelyn Carr, claimed that she had been on the telephone with Franklin at the time of the incident. Carr claimed to have overheard Cooke's intrusion and the ensuing conflict and gunshot. She called the police to request that officers go to the motel, telling them she believed the shooting had occurred. A coroner's inquest was convened to investigate the incident. The woman who had accompanied Cooke to the motel was identified as Alicia Boyer, who had also called police that night shortly before Carr had. Boyer had called from a telephone booth near the hotel, telling them she had just escaped being kidnapped. Boyer told the police that she had first met Cooke early that night and had spent the evening in his company. She claimed that after they left the local nightclub together, she had repeatedly requested that he take her home, but he instead took her against her will to the Hacienda Motel. She claimed that once in one of the motel's rooms, Cooke physically forced her onto the bed and that she was certain he was going to rape her. According to Boyer, when Cooke stepped into the bathroom for a moment, she quickly grabbed her clothes and ran from the room. She claimed that in her haste, she also scooped up most of Cooke's clothing by mistake. She said she ran first to the manager's office and knocked on the door seeking help. However, she said the manager took too long in responding, so fearing Cooke would soon be coming after her, she fled from the motel before the manager ever opened the door. She said she then put her clothing back on, hid Cooke's clothing, went to the telephone booth, and called police. Boyer's story is the only account of what happened between her and Cooke that night. However, her story has long been called into question. inconsistencies between her version of events and details reported by other witnesses, as well as circumstantial evidence, suggest that Boyer may have gone willingly to the motel with Cook and then slipped out of the room with his clothing in order to rob him rather than escape an attempted rape. However, questions about Boyer's role were beyond the scope of the inquest, the purpose of which was only to establish the circumstances of Franklin's role in the shooting. Boyer's leaving the motel room with almost all of Cook's clothing and the fact that tests showed Cook was inebriated at the time provided a plausible explanation to the inquest jurors of Cook's bizarre behavior and state of dress. In addition, because Carr's testimony corroborated Franklin's version of events, and because both Boyer and Franklin later passed lie detector tests, the coroner's jury ultimately accepted Franklin's explanation and returned a verdict of justifiable homicide. With that verdict, authorities officially closed the case of Cook's death. Some of Cook's family and supporters, however, have rejected Boyer's version of events, as well as those given by Franklin and Carr. They believe that there was a conspiracy to murder Cook and that the murder took place in some manner entirely different from the three official accounts. Singer Etta James viewed Cook's body before his funeral and questioned the accuracy of the official version of events. She wrote that the injuries she observed were well beyond the official account of Cook having fought Franklin alone. James wrote that Cook was so badly beaten that his head was nearly separated from his shoulders. His hands were broken and crushed, and his nose mangled. Some people speculated that Cook's manager, Alan Klein, might have had a role in his death. Alan owned Tracy LTD, which ultimately owned all the rights of Cook's recordings. All right, so now let's take a look at what really happened. So first I want to start off by saying that Sam Cooke was a bachelor. He was a ladies' man. And Barbara also got around. She was loose. So Sam got Barbara pregnant, and his father told him to just go ahead and marry her, being that he's coming from a religious background. He was doing gospel music. His father said, hey, do the right thing. Just marry the girl, which was a big mistake. Well, let's continue. So Barbara began to withhold sex from Sam, and as a result, Sam, being a ladies' man, being a bachelor, continued to do his thing on the side. Barbara got into an affair with the 19-year-old Bobby Womack. Barbara was unloyal and claimed she was upset about Sam's affairs. Sam was aware of his wife's infidelity. Sam hired Alan Klein as his manager, and Alan helped him secure a contract with RCA. Sam asked Alan to set up the company Tracy LTD, named after his daughter, for him, and Alan took the money and set himself up as the owner. Sam made his friend J.W. Alexander a business partner, but J.W. Alexander didn't have his best interests at heart. In the company Tracy LTD, Sam Cooke was the president, but the president is not the owner. J.W. Alexander was the vice president, Sam's father was on the board of directors, and Alan Klein was a secretary. On the official record, the owner of the company was Alan Klein. Alan set the articles of incorporation up for him to be the owner. He manipulated the paperwork and gave Sam phony documents. One day, Sam Cooke found out Klein was robbing him and was going to fire him, but Klein had the phone tapped and heard Sam's plans. Sam was about to divorce Barbara, and the final straw was when their 2-year-old son died by venturing outside and falling in the pool while she was on the phone with some man. When they found out what Sam was going to do, they planned his murder. They conspired to kill Sam to prevent him from cutting them off. Klein, J.W. Alexander, Barbara, and Los Angeles Mob Associates was in on it. Associates with the Los Angeles Mob played a role in financing Sam's career earlier on. Sam only wanted to use them up to a certain point and then move on. It's believed that Associates with the Mob was involved with his death and cover-up. Boyer, a prostitute, already knew Sam from previous encounters. A Mickey was put in Sam's drink, and it's believed that Alicia was the one who did it. They both left Martinis and went to the PJs. And then Sam got into a scuffle with a guy that tried to holler at Alicia, the prostitute. The Mickey kicked in and the killers drove off with Sam and Boyer. Someone else then drove Sam's Ferrari to South Central Los Angeles. The killers stripped Sam naked and then beat him to death. All right, so now let's take a look at my final thoughts and some books that I recommend. Now, the first book I recommend is The Polygamous Papers by Hondo Solomon. Now, me personally, I don't believe that monogamy is natural. And even for those religious people out there, even in the Bible, it talks about polygamy. We had Esau, Solomon, David, Moses, Jacob. They all had multiple wives. So I do recommend you guys to go ahead and purchase this book and soak in the information. I don't think marriage is a good idea in the United States because of the gynocentric society we live in and because the court system is rigged, whereas someone can just divorce you and take half of what you have. So it's really ridiculous. So go ahead and check this book out. And then we have The Manipulated Man. This book was written by Esther Villar, a female. I do recommend this book for men in the United States, especially because the race wars, the hangings, the burn-ins were predicated upon white females lying and saying that they were raped by black men. And then you had these white simps go around burning, looting, and hanging black men. And now we have the single mother epidemic in the black community. And now we see an influx of simps and manginas in the black community who are completely oblivious to female nature and how to be a man. So I do recommend getting this book. It has changed my life. The Manipulated Man by Esther Villar. Then we have the book The Rational Male by Rollo Tomasi, another book that has changed my life and should be read along with The Manipulated Man and The Polygamous Papers. And of course, if you are a black American, you have to read The Black Man's Guide to Understanding the Black Woman. This will unplug you from the matrix and give you not only a good understanding of female nature, but black female nature, because it's completely different than other females of different races. Now, if you want to understand the music industry, I do recommend Dancing with the Devil, How Puff Burned the Bad Boys of Hip Hop, and then, of course, Hitmen, Power Brokers and Fast Money Inside the Music Business. And then finally, The FBI War on Tupac Shakur and Black Leaders. These books are recommended to have a good understanding on what's going on in the music industry and what black entertainers are up against when they step foot in the music industry. Now let's take a look at my final thoughts. I believe Sam Cooke should have never gotten married. He should have had bodyguards or at least a posse for protection. He should have never trusted Klein and should have at least double-checked the documents with an attorney. Klein went on to cheat the Rolling Stones and the Beatles out of millions of dollars. And one lesson I want you black Americans to learn is that those who use their mind make more money than those who use their flesh or muscle. This includes singing, dancing, running, jumping, fighting, etc. We have enough black Americans that are using their flesh, their muscle, their talent. We need more thinkers. We need more black Americans that are using their mind. At the end of this video, I'm going to show you the fact that the dominant society and news channels like CNN want to promote the fact that black Americans are making so much money from playing basketball. But they don't show you the fact that the owner of the basketball team is making 10 to 100 times more than that basketball player. Because the dominant society wants to keep black Americans as the talent. And they want to be the managers. They want to be the owners. I don't care what one single white person tells you. I'm talking about the collective want to keep black Americans as the talent, as the individuals who are the labor force, while they use their mind and maintain and manage black Americans. That's how they want it. All the evidence points to that fact, right? The tragic story of Sam Cooke and many others is why black celebrities refuse to create big corporations or at least own, manufacture, and package their own products, because they would be in fear of their life and losing their career. I'm also going to add another clip at the end of this video showing you how Irv Gotti, Jay Prince, and Suge Knight got together with a couple other fellas to try to make a music company, and in a week, they all caught cases. Even recently, you had a black rapper who went to withdraw $500,000, I believe, and as he exited the bank, he was arrested for taking money out of his own account. You see? All right, so that's my video. I want to thank you guys for watching. Be sure to share, like, and subscribe. And until next time, this is Conspiracy Dude.
CNN Money has a fascinating video that visualizes income inequality in the United States. It shows how much the rich make in just 60 seconds. Okay, that first bubble is Kobe Bryant's income. He's an all-star forward for the LA Lakers, of course. In just 5 seconds, he's earning $14. That's twice as much as the minimum wage worker would make in 2 hours. On the right is Rex Tillerson, CEO of ExxonMobil. He's banking almost $5 in 15 seconds. At 25 seconds, an average physician makes only 34 cents. At half a minute, an elementary school teacher hits 21 cents. In the meantime, let's go back to Kobe Bryant's bubble. He's back there over at $81. And CEO Rex Tillerson, he's got more than 14. By 50 seconds, the President of the United States is earning $2.40. And if we add it all up to a minute, a median wage worker in the U.S. has just 27 cents. You see, it's an interesting video at CNN Money, but you get the point. If you look at income, there are two Americas growing further apart.
So, we have to look at Damon Dash. We have to look at Suge Knight. We have to look at Irv Gotti. And we have to look at Jay Prince. These four gentlemen that got together, and we're going to put up $30 million apiece to get in and create their own distribution company to distribute black music. These people got together and said, we'll never let it happen. We'll let it'll happen over our dead bodies. All in 1 week, I'm telling you the short version of the story. All in 1 week, they raided the offices of these four brothers. I'm going to say them again. Damon Dash, Suge Knight, Irv Gotti, and Jay Prince out of Texas. They raided, FBI raided their offices and confiscated their records and started piecing together cases against these brothers. And Suge Knight, you already know his story.
Yeah.
You understand? Went through some court cases, ended up having the white Jewish woman, the owner now, of everything that Death Row had put out. And I think she bought it for $22 million. No, $25 million. Ain't that something? She owns the entire catalog. I'm going to have to get this woman's name so I can put it in my record. Irv Gotti, him and his brother, was brought up on charges, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Several years ago. And his thing was publicized because they raided his offices and tried to connect him to some mob ties and some drug dealing and that kind of thing. Thanks to your man, 50 Cent. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then Rap-A-Lot owner Jay Prince, who they connected to embezzling money and fraud and laundering money, this kind of thing. But Jay-Z was privy to this information, and Jay-Z was one of the ones that took it back to them. Mm. So what did they do? They bought Jay-Z off, to tell the short version of the story.
What's the deal here? I went in the bank, you know. I got $200,000 on my account, and I was in the bank, and I come out the bank, I see the police, I walk to the car, I see one of them putting my bag like him, so they come bum rushing at the car and put me on the ground, put guns in my head, you know, like, so I'm like, what I do? And then later were like, I was supposed to have $200,000 on me, so I'm like, I'm a millionaire, like, how can I not have $200,000 on me? They said somebody wrote a bogus check, and they thought I did a bogus check too, but I'm legit. So they confused me with whoever they were looking for. They confused me with them and thought I was doing something bogus. Until they realized, when they checked my account, saying I was worth $1.3 million, and they realized, you know, he a multimillionaire. So we gotta let him go, and they apologized to me. But they just took $100,000 of my money. I'm gonna go to the police station right now and go get my other $100,000. So I'm gonna get my money from them, and I'm gonna get out the city. I got a roll.
So I know some of you guys are wondering, who will be the next president of the United States? Some of my family members have told me that they're going to vote for Bernie Sanders.
Previous to 1957, you had been working in another field, had you?
That's right. I was doing spirituals at the time, too. He's wonderful.
See, but the thing about gospel in those days, if you're serving God, you serve God. You can't turn around and sing a pop song, then you're serving the devil.
Darling, you send me.
No matter what he did, Sam Cooke's silky voice, charm, and good looks had a way of opening doors to him that were not open to other people.
He did not cotton well to people saying, no, you can't, or no, don't do this. That just was not in his vocabulary. He believed that everybody's equal, and he was just as equal as the next person.
Would lead to major breakthroughs that would extend far beyond music.
But now I think I'm able.
But would also cost him and his loved ones dearly in his lifetime.
He paid a price. He paid a heck of a price.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Cooke.
The congregation at his father's First Baptist Church in Chicago Heights. At the age of 17, he became the new lead vocalist for the famed gospel group, The Soul Stirrers. And immediately, his presence redefined what a gospel concert was all about.
Was combing his hair on stage. God is so with a mirror. Wonderful. And man, the preacher was going crazy. He can't do that in this church. No, no, no.
And pray. Oh, I want to say my, I know he
had a way of emphasizing, whoa, 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 and he slapped his side like that. When he hit his side like that, the ladies fell over like pinpins.
One particular fella wasn't really a Christian, and I don't think he went to church too often. And Sam was singing, and all of a sudden he jumped up and said, "Sing, damn it, Sam, sing!" And so naturally, everyone in church turned around and looked at him, you know. But this is how people would get so wrapped up in his music.
He brought home this demo record.
Why should I worry when trouble falls?
And he put on, and I'm saying, man, Sam had written a song.
I'm gonna thank.
So that was my really first impression that made me realize Sam was more than Sam.
Oh, when others worry, feeling low.
The first disc that Sam Cooke made with the Soul Stirrers sold 60,000 records, a huge hit on the gospel charts in 1951. His popularity flourished as a steady stream of his songs played on gospel stations around the country. Yet outside the church world, even in his hometown, his welcome could wear thin.
At a time when you knew your place, so to speak, even in Chicago, there were certain things that you did not say to white people. And even us as children knew that. But when we were with Sam, if he wanted to do something or wanted to go someplace, he did it.
He was just a tremendous uncle. He loved his nieces and nephews. If it was in the summer, he made sure that they go to the amusement park and they could ride anything they wanted to ride as many times as they wanted to.
People were staring because most of the time there weren't very many blacks in the park. But we didn't care. We were with our uncle. And he could do anything as far as we were concerned.
Things had come easily for Sam Cooke, maybe too easily. He'd taken the gospel world and turned it on its ear. His high school sweetheart, Barbara Campbell, had his child out of wedlock, while Sam and his cronies enjoyed a raucous life on the road.
See, we got over good because we were gospel singers. We traveled the same routes as the R&B and the jazz people, but we got better treatment than they did because they were serving the devil. People said, "Well, you boys is all right. You're serving God. That's good, you know." Mm-hmm. I mean, we was just as much a dog as anybody else was. But
toured the country continuously on the Chipman Circuit, from Chicago through the South to Los Angeles and back again.
But tomorrow, I'm just trying.
In the northern cities, Sam might get odd looks, but in the South, things were different.
Sometimes.
There was only two cities in the South that had accommodations where African Americans could really stay. Then a lot of times we would just sleep in the car. In the winter time when it was really cold, it was rough.
You know, we've been shot at just for wanting to go to the toilet, you know, and you get to somewhere and they have three toilets. Men, women, and colored. Like if you were colored, you were not man or woman, you were just colored.
Sam would go places a lot of people wouldn't go, because he was comfortable going to those places. He was naughty, real naughty, and so was I.
The reality of Cook's personal life didn't quite fit the image of a preacher's son. For an entire year, he'd avoided marrying Barbara Campbell, the mother of his baby daughter, Linda. Now Barbara would have to struggle with Sam's announcement that he'd married Dolores Mohawk, a dancer and single mother he'd met while touring in California.
It was a big shock. We backed him, but we were just surprised that he had made the decision to marry because it was just so sudden. We really didn't, we wasn't expecting it.
Lovable, my girl, she's lovable.
Since Cook's family was adjusting to the news of his marriage, he decided to try to keep his other major decision somewhat private. He cut his first attempt at a pop record under the name D.L. Cook so that no one would know it was him. Now, instead of singing about the Lord, he was singing about his new romance.
He had a song called Wonderful God, it's so wonderful. 2 weeks later, he had another song out called Lovable, she is so lovable. But he put that on his brother's name because he was scared. See, it was a thing about gospel in those days. If you're serving God, you serve God. You can't turn around and sing a pop song, then you're serving the devil.
No one who knew Cook's voice was fooled by his alias. And while Lovable was not a hit, it had opened the door for what was to come next.
Well, no matter what type of music he sang, you know, that voice was there, and you couldn't get away from that. You had to hear it.
Sam's setback with Lovable only seemed to make him want to compose a pop hit even more. He made up his mind. He was stepping away from the gospel world to try and make a name for himself in the mainstream recording industry. His decision didn't sit lightly with his father, the Reverend Charles Cook, who eventually gave his blessing.
I mean, it was a giant in gospel for him to leave, you know. And so, oh my God, you know, you deserted, you turned, you know, you backslider. And he took a lot of flack for it.
When Sam left the Soul Stirrers, it was like the gospel world had come to an end.
What caused you at that point in your career, 57, to turn to this kind of singing?
My economic situation.
That's a very honest answer.
At 25 years old, Sam Cooke had broken away from the family business to blaze his own trail. For perhaps the first time in his life, Sam Cooke was free to go in any direction his talents might take him. After it began, Sam's marriage to Dolores Mohawk was over. The breakup was painful, but whatever pain Cook felt, it didn't show in his music. He just lost his wife and was about to risk losing his gospel fans when he wrote and recorded a song called You Send Me.
Here. Electrical problems, switchboard problems, and get back on. Lights have been cut off tonight. I have my power probably 7, 8, or 9, 10 times tonight as well. If you stay online as well, I have totally launched control of the studio here. But, let me load that page. We're having very bad problems with the communication because of the lights, tornadoes, a lot of tornadoes in this area interrupted, and uprooted trees, and turnover trailers, all sorts of things have been going on. I'll be able to get on to the internet. We're still trying, though, but I want to talk to you briefly about the program that we have been doing. It's about Sam Cooke. And Sam Cooke was a powerful singer. We're going to go ahead and close it out because we do have access to the studio. And we hope that you'll be able to continue to support us here at House of Play Gospel Blog Talk Radio. Stay with us as we continue to do what we know to do.